Now, we all have a different relationship with food. Some of us might be focused on counting calories, others might feel some guilt after eating something sugary, or get stressed and skip meals, or get stressed and eat even more. Our next guest says that all of this attention to what we're eating can have negative effects. Instead, we should focus on when and why we eat to get closer to what she calls a normal relationship with food. Abby Langer is a registered dietitian and has worked in clinical nutrition and nutrition media and consulting. She writes about debunking fad diets and nutrition myths on her website, abbylangernutrition.com. She wrote the piece, "This is what it looks like to have a normal relationship with food for self.com." Abby, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what do you mean by a normal relationship with food?
Now, it's important to know that normal and healthy are two completely different things. This doesn't mean having a normal relationship with food doesn't mean you eat a lot of salads and, you know, you cut down on your sugar. Normal is more along the lines of knowing why you eat and having a healthy attitude towards food and a healthy relationship with food.
A lot of us don't. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that affects most of us at one point or another, and some for longer than others. You know, we have such a diet culture, and there's this thin ideal that a lot of people or most of us strive for. And, you know, it really takes a toll on our relationship with food, because we're using all these external cues to sort of achieve something, some arbitrary idea of how we should look and how we should feel. And in doing that, we ignore what our bodies are telling us.
How do we tune ourselves into what our bodies are telling us?
So I think the first step is to understand that we understand what those external cues are, and to take a look at, you know, the way you perceive food and eating. If you're saying, you know, this food is bad and this other food is good and I'm eating clean and, you know, I'm such a horrible person because I ate this cake, those are symptoms of being basically under the influence of a diet mentality. So I think the first step would be to understand that we need to step away from that diet mentality by knowing that it's normal to eat and it's normal to feel hungry, and that guilt and shame do not play well with food and eating ever.
Abby Langer is with us, registered dietitian, talking about having a normal relationship with food. Abby, you have a manifesto up on your website, and one of the points on there has to do with that shame and the guilt that I think a lot of people feel after some bit of indulgence or another. How does that hurt us?
Well, it makes us eat more in the end, a lot of the time, because we feel so bad about ourselves, you know. And research has shown that people who feel guilt and shame around eating actually tend to eat more. And I think it's important to note the shame and guilt around food it hurts us, because when we feel that a food is shameful, or we feel guilty, or after we eat it, or that a food is good or it's bad, we tend to internalize those labels to ourselves. So let's say you eat a piece of cake and you think it's such a bad food. People tend to think, I'm eating a bad food and therefore I am bad. And it's a terrible thing, because obviously intellectually we know we're not bad people for eating a piece of cake, but this is how diet culture works.
Now, suppose, as you said, normal doesn't necessarily mean the same as healthy eating. I could envision a world in which I ate lots of donuts and managed to erase my shame. I could eat a lot of bad food in a way that makes me unhealthy. How do I make sure that, you know, so getting rid of that shame, feeling normal about how I eat, doesn't turn too unhealthy?
You know, I think it's important to respect your body and to respect your hunger and fullness cues. And that's what normal eating entails, is to respect your body by choosing mostly nourishing foods. It's not an excuse for a free-for-all with donuts or pizza, although no food is restricted, which can be very difficult for people. You know, I tell people, people always ask me, what food would you never eat, or what food should we never eat? And I don't have an answer for that. I mean, I really eat everything as a dietitian. I still eat Oreo cookies. I still eat pizza. But is my diet based on those things? No, but I don't feel bad when I eat that. That's normal eating. I mean, I think, you know, we've been on restrictive diets with such long lists of rules for so long, that we're so afraid to integrate less nourishing foods into our diets. But just choosing mostly nourishing foods and understanding when we don't choose those foods, that it's totally normal. As long as, you know, you don't do it every single meal.
Why do we love really restrictive or unusual diets? Because it seems like we really gravitate toward those. Is it just like the no pain, no gain thing? We want to feel like we're suffering to do better?
I think there's a couple of reasons. I mean, I think people are really out for a quick fix, and they feel as though if something's really strange or they haven't heard of it before, maybe it's just that one thing that's going to do the trick. Although if you ask people to really sit and think about it intellectually, they will know, most of them will tell you that it probably won't work. I also think there's a need to belong. And I write about this all the time where, you know, diets are getting more extreme. Their newest one is the carnivore diet, where people eat nothing but meat and salt and water. And that's it. They don't eat. They think vegetables are horrible for you. It's just a very restrictive, obviously, diet. And I think it comes from the need to belong to one of these diet tribes. We are so connected in the world, yet we're so alone. And studies have shown that we're actually lonelier than ever before, even though everyone's connected via the internet and all of that. And I think, you know, it's a substitute for actual interpersonal relationships, is feeling like you're part of a group, that you're doing something special, that you have some special knowledge of this diet. It's like a special club. Makes people feel supported.
We're talking to registered dietitian Abby Langer. She writes about debunking fad diets, nutrition myths, and more at her website, abbylangernutrition.com. She says we need to try to rebuild a more normal relationship with our food. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Do you feel like you've been stressed, felt stressed because of the food you eat, the foods you avoid? Have you found an approach to eating that works for you? Why do you think we respond to stress, boredom, fatigue, whatever, with eating? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up that conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Abby Langer, a registered dietitian. She wrote the piece, "This is what it looks like to have a normal relationship with food," for self.com. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel guilty after maybe eating a big meal or a sweet treat? How would you like to change your relationship with food, or have you done that? Do you feel better about things now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Taylor is with us in Madison. Taylor, hi.
Hi, thanks so much. I just wanted to say that I've been down that road of restrictive diets, like the no carbs, lots of meat and vegetables. But at the same time, you know, I've now come to a more healthy approach with food, of loving all kinds of food, you know. So, and that includes having cake and beer and cheese curds. And from that result, it's just been, I'm a much more loving relationship with myself and food, because those restrictive diets are just so stressful, and you know, you should enjoy food. That's what it's there for.
Taylor, thanks a lot for the call. Abby, what do you think?
I think that's so fantastic. I'm just nodding as Taylor's talking, and I love how she said cheese curds, because you're in Wisconsin.
We sure are.
I think that's so fantastic. And it's so great to hear from someone who's been through everything and then come out the other side and has found peace and a good relationship with food and with your body. I think that's so awesome.
Taylor, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go now to Lynn with us in Bayview. Lynn, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Lynn?
Well, ever since I was a kid, my parents wanted to feed me breakfast, lunch, and supper and their menu. But I always objected to that. I ate what I wanted, when I wanted. Drove them crazy. But I'm 62, and I weigh the same as I weighed in high school. And I always eat what I want, when I want to. So if I want chicken soup for breakfast, that's what I eat. Yeah. If I want a salad at midnight, that's what I eat. And I don't do societal norms. Like, you have to eat 3 meals a day. I might eat 8 meals a day. They might be really tiny meals, but they're what I want. So I just pay attention to what I want to eat, and that's what I eat.
Lynn, thank you so much. Abby, it sounds like you're nodding along there again.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it.
And that makes me think of, I'm a parent myself, and I've been there, that stressful, almost combat zone with the kids, trying to get them to eat the good stuff when the parent wants. I'm as guilty as Lynn's parents were of that. How can we get past that as parents?
Well, first of all, stop referring to food as good or bad, because there is no good or bad food. And I think also it's important to set a good example for our kids. So if they see you eating the foods that that you want them to eat, then they will more likely than not eat them. But I always tell clients, if you make it a big deal, it's going to be a big deal. You know how kids, when you tell them to do something, they never want to do it. But if you just leave them alone, then they're more likely to do whatever you want them to do. So if, for example, you want them to eat broccoli, you put it on their plate. If they eat it, that's great. Don't say anything. If they don't eat it, that's fine. Don't say anything. Just take it away and continue to offer them the foods that you want them to eat. I think it's also important to make the connection between the way kids eat and the way we eat, because kids are naturally intuitive with their eating. They're born eating when they're hungry and then stopping when they're full. And they eat what they want, and then they don't eat what they don't want. So they won't just see a burger and think, oh, I'm not hungry, but I'm going to eat that anyways because it looks good. If they're not hungry, they're not going to eat it. So, and then we lose those internal, they're operating on their internal hunger and fullness cues. We don't do that because we're affected by so many outside influences. So it's almost like I'm saying eat more like a child, except, eat more vegetables. So it's interesting to watch kids eat. But setting a good example, not making a big deal about what they're eating or what they're not eating, and knowing that nothing bad's going to happen if the kid hates vegetables for a couple of years. Like, just relax. They know when you're stressed. If they know you're stressed, it's going to work against you.
Thanks a lot for that call. Mm-hmm. Jonathan joins us in Janesville now. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
What's your story, Jonathan?
About 10 years ago, I lost about 100 pounds. Most of my adolescence, I was obese. And my whole journey was based on learning to love food and appreciate food. And eventually I went to culinary school and developed this love a little bit more. But in this country, we don't have a real connection with real food. We don't love food the way that many other cultures around the world do. And that's something that I've found, that developing that love and understanding of food and cooking has allowed me to be able to enjoy food anytime, and to have a real relationship with food that we don't, that we don't currently have in this country. And
Jonathan, thank you so much for sharing that. I think a lot of times, Abby, especially when we're talking about obesity, the approach is to shun food, battle with food, view food as the enemy. Jonathan did exactly the opposite and did pretty well, it sounds like.
I think it's so, having just been to Italy for the second time, I know exactly what he's talking about, because the food there is so beautiful and they really appreciate the beauty of food. Here it's like, let's just eat in the car on the way to work and, not even taste their food. A lot of things are ultra processed. It couldn't be more different over there. And I think that's a great way to eat, the way most European countries eat.
Jonathan, thank you so much for sharing your experience. Abby, how do we get there from here for people who are stressed out? They feel shame about the food they eat. They're watching for the superfood and the food to avoid. Yeah. How do we get from there to that normal relationship?
You know that there's no quick fix, and know that you can trust your body. And it's a process. And you know what, I know that the way I'm saying it is making it sound like I think it's easy, but I don't think it's easy. Of course not. And if you've been eating a certain way for your whole life or for the majority of your adult life, it's very hard to then shut off the diet behaviors and to start trusting your body. But know that your body will ask for food when you're hungry, and it will give you satiety cues, like fullness cues, when it's full. And if you eat the majority of your food whole or minimally processed, then you should have some satisfaction with the foods that you're eating. But also know that it's not worth it to beat yourself up about eating in the way that the diet culture says is bad. Like, there's no good foods, bad foods. You are not your diet. And food isn't the enemy or something to be feared. We're so afraid of eating. And I want people to revel in the beauty of food and have a good relationship with food and their bodies. It takes time.
Abby, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Abby Langer, registered dietitian. She's worked in clinical nutrition and nutrition media and consulting. She writes about debunking fad diets and nutrition myths on her website, abbylangernutrition.com. She wrote the piece, "This is what it looks like to have a normal relationship with food for self.com. Still time for you to share your story. We have a question up at the Ideas Network Facebook page. If you have a story, maybe like some of our callers today, you can share that. Just head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR.